love Him. And the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Amen? And I trust that that's where your heart is. I mean, really, that's where it ought to be tonight.
Well, take your Bible with me. Let's look over in the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Philippians, chapter number 4. And we've been going through that for a little while now. Most of you have been with us for those few messages. And we've been talking about those things that Paul keeps mentioning. You know, there are all kinds of things in the Bible. But he runs into a specific group of those things as he is telling us in Philippians chapter number 4 about the things that that really matter to me and you and should be a source of our focus and our concern. So let's read it again, if you will, in Philippians chapter number 4. We'll read there just a little bit. Start with me, if you will, in verse number 4. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, now that at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for your blessings and your love and your good mercy and all the goodness of the day. Thank you again for us having this opportunity to come together and be blessed with the Word of God. Now, I pray you'd just take it. I pray you'd just put it in our hearts. Help us to hear these things, to know them. And then, as James says, to be a doer of those things, and we'd be blessed in everything that we do. We thank you again for that. Give us your direction now, and bless this time. Maybe somebody needs to get closer to you. Maybe somebody needs to get saved. Speak to them tonight. We'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. Well, like I say, we're going to look at those things. In verse number 9, Paul says this. He says, "Those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." So I want to preach to you tonight about practicing those things. Practicing those things. Now, you know, we've looked at this passage, and it's pretty interesting to look at the whole little run there, even on probably closer to toward the end of the chapter. But Paul is talking to this church, and he's trying to help them to get together. He's saying, look, you need to have some unity. You need to have some togetherness. There needs to be some fellowship, and there needs to be some bonding in the body of Christ. And that's true. That's everywhere you go. And the reason that we need that is because when you go to a lot of places, you find out that there are a lot of fractures. You find out there's a lot of separations. There's a lot of bends and brokens and people that are having issues and problems. And because of that, well, you know, it's just like, man, we're in church, but we're not together in church. I mean, we may be sitting there physically in seats close to each other, but there's no closeness. So Paul is trying to encourage them in that, and he's given them I guess you would really just call it like a recipe. He said, here's a way that you can do those things. He says, you know, first of all, we looked at it, he said, be careful for nothing. There shouldn't be anything that would get us into a state of anxiety, worry, or care, that we're all loaded down with some kind of care. That's what Paul talks about there in verse number 6. And in verse number 6 also, he says, you ought to pray about everything. Amen? We ought to pray about more things than what we generally pray about. And then he says there in verse number 7, one of the keys to this is to know that if you do that, he said, the peace of God that passes all your understanding is going to keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. And then in verse number 8, you know that we talked about the battle for your mind. You get a bunch of things on your mind, and buddy, you can get in trouble. But Paul said, here's the kind of things, or the things, that you need to think about. And he talks about things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report. Amen. He says, if there's anything that has any real value, any real moral or great value, and he said, if there's anything that are praiseworthy, you can give praise to God for, that's the kind of stuff you ought to be thinking about. And then he comes down here to verse number 9, and he said, and those things are what? He said, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do those things. Those are the kind of things you ought to be doing. He said, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's look at that real quickly, if you will, this evening. And let's talk about, well, you know, if you watch television or see too many magazine advertisements, after a while, you're going to see one that's got this little swoosh or a little check mark. And down below it, you know what it's going to say? Just do it. If you watch any kind of sports programs or even sometimes just any of the commercials that come on, you'll see a commercial for a product called Nike. Nike makes shoes and shirts and all kinds of apparel and all that. And that's their little slogan, just do it. I believe Paul is telling me and you the same thing. Just do it. Quit talking about it. Quit thinking about it as far as studying that you're going to do. He said, just go ahead and do some things. Amen? There's some things you just got to go ahead and do. Paul says, look, let's talk about those things that you ought to be doing. So I want you to notice, first of all, he gives us an idea, and we'll just say this is the imparting of those things. He imparts this wisdom to us about those things. Listen to what he said. There's four parts to that. He says, those things. He said, what kind of things am I talking about? Those things that you have learned. Those things you have received. Those things you have heard, and those things that you've seen in me, those are the things that you ought to do. Amen? That's what Paul's saying now. So he imparts this to them. Let's talk about probably the strongest point out of all of this, or the emphatic point probably out of all this, is the very first one. He says, those things which ye have both learned. Those things that you have learned. Do you know that when you come to church, when you're around Christian folks, when you're in a Sunday school class, when you're in a preaching service, when you're in any kind of other type of a Bible study, however you want to do it, why, there's some things that you ought to be learning. Did you know that that's one of the emphatic things that Jesus is trying to get across to me and you, that he tells us to what? Go and make disciples of other men. What's that mean? That means teach somebody something that they need to learn. Listen to this, to that definition about learning. Learning is the matter of a pupil that has acquired knowledge of content through a teacher to the extent that such knowledge is experiential in their life. I'm just saying, you know what that boils down to? That means you need to sit down with somebody that can teach you something and let those things that they teach you show up in your everyday life. That's what he's talking about. Those things that you have learned. When you come to the house of God, when you've been experienced as a Christian, when you sit down and read your Bible, when you get alone in your prayer time, when you do those things with God, hey, you know what that'll help you do? It'll help you to learn how to be a better Christian. That's what this is all about. I mean, if you'll remember now, we went through the book of Acts, and you can go back and look at some of those things, but you'll see where that Paul and Barnabas and Paul and Silas, whoever it was maybe that Paul was with, even sometimes it was Peter, they would go and stay with a group of people, and it may be for months. It may be for a year. It may be for a number of years. But you know what they were doing? They were teaching them. They were discipling them on how to become a better and a greater Christian. I mean, that's what this thing is. There ought to be, you know, a lot of folks get the idea of discipleship that somebody's got to stand there and they got to tell me and I got to listen. And it's like being in a class. Now, I imagine most of y'all was probably like me when you was in a class in school. It wasn't the most thrilling thing you've ever done in your life. Somebody say amen right there, right? I mean, it ain't, you know, you're sitting there, and I'll be honest with you. I know one time in pharmacy school, we had a pharmacology class right after lunch. Can I tell y'all pharmacology is about the most boring junk there is in the world? I mean, they start telling you what A did to B and how that's going to react on your system and how this chemical compound reacts with this part of your body. And you're sitting there, and I'm going, and I'm about ready to just pass out. They're trying to impart some knowledge, but I'm trying to sleep. Amen. My belly got full of a little bit of lunch, and I'm sitting there, and you're in a room that has no windows, no light, no nothing. And here you are, and here they are, drone on and on and on. And, man, it puts you to sleep. Now, I think I must have learned something in there. I had to have passed the class, but I must have learned enough, or I got my book out and studied and filled in the blank spots. I don't know. But anyway, you're there to learn, right? But do you know what the idea behind the ancient and the biblical times was? That you sat at the feet of the master, whoever the master was. Now, you remember Paul talked about how that he learned as he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, who was one of the great teachers in his day of the Hebrew way, of the Hebrew language, of the Torah, of the things that he found in their Bible, if you will, at that day. He sat at his feet and he learned. That's exactly what you and I need to do. We just need to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn some things from him. It is a fellowship with the one that's doing the teaching. You sit down and you just soak it in. You remember what the Bible says about Mary? How that Martha was cumbered about in the house doing all this kind of stuff, trying to make sure everything was fixed up and set up and looked good for the Lord being there with her. It said, but Mary sat at Jesus' feet and she heard his word. Then Jesus said to Martha, you're careful and troubled about a lot of things. You've got a lot of stuff on your mind. You've got yourself in a certain tizzy, in a certain place. He said, hey, Mary's chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Amen? That means you and I, sometimes we need to just sit down with the Lord and say, Lord, I need to learn some things. You remember what Paul says himself? Paul says that when he is in his stage of learning, and it's back in the book of Galatians, if you want to flip back there in Galatians chapter number 1, and he talks about how that he got what he got it from the Lord. Look in verse number 11. He said, but I certify you, brethren, chapter 1 of Galatians, but I certify you, brother, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Lord and me sat down, and he showed me some stuff, and I learned it from him. Amen. Amen. I mean, look, he is saying, on down in that, he said, but verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and revealed, called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again into Damascus. After 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I abode with him 15 days. He said, I didn't get it at the school where they say y'all to get it. I got it from the Lord. Amen? So Paul says there are some things. There are many things. There are biblical. There are godly. There are holy. There are righteous things. You're going to get it when you have that fellowship with the Lord. You're going to sit there with him and you're going to commune with him. He's going to commune with you and you're going to learn it that way. Amen? Now, don't get me wrong. It is good to go to Sunday school. It's good to hear teaching. All of those things are good and right and have their place. And I'm telling you, we ought to do those. And I believe that's even part of what Paul is saying. That's part of the learning. The learning here that he's talking about is really the same word that we would use for instruction. Amen? Y'all remember my youngest brother, I love to think about this, when we was little and went to Fairview Elementary School, he went the first day of school. He come home, he told Mama he's through. He done learned everything he needed to know. Amen. How about that? You know, that's the way a lot of us are. We think we done arrived and we done know it all. Ain't no need me going back. I done know it all. Amen? Boy, I haven't learned it all yet. I'm still trying to just scratch the surface out of the Word of God and learn some things. I need to be instructed. And that's what Paul is saying here. This is a pupil and a teacher relationship. We've got to sit down and we've got to learn. And Paul said, those things which ye have learned. All right? But second of all, look what he says. Not only that, he said, those things which you've learned, he said, and received. Received? Yeah. That means that you have received the truth that you're getting from the person that's teaching you. You have received those words, and you trust them as the truth. Do you go back in your Bible sometime and maybe start in John chapter number 14. We know John chapter number 14, everybody gets all excited about that, how that, oh yeah, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no man can come to the Father. Okay, if you'll look on beyond that, the Bible explains to us that Jesus is talking and teaching as he's going with his disciples. He begins to tell them about him being the true vine, and they're the branches. And then he tells them about he's going to pray his Father, send another comforter when he goes away. And I mean, he begins to teach them many, many things that they need to hear and that they need to know. Why is that? Because, brother, that's that relationship. You're to receive these things that I am teaching you, is what Jesus said. Y'all need to get a hold of this and to receive the truth. Take it to heart. I mean, not just okay, I can ask anybody in this room, I hope, just about anybody in this room, what's 2 + 2? Well, anybody know? Woo, hallelujah, y'all got it. You know how we learned that? I mean, you remember? Because there's some knucklehead teacher standing up there with a ruler in their hand and said, "2 + 2, Johnny, and 4. I mean, you learn. And there is a way of learning things that is what we just call rote, R-O-T-E, rote learning. In other words, it's almost like regurgitation. Man, didn't y'all love it when you went to school and the teacher said, we're going to do times tables today. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, boy, you sit there, 8 × 8, so 64. You know, I mean, you're going through all that. And after a while, you just become a regurgitator of those things, right? I mean, you sit there and you know that. As I say, 2 + 2 is 4. But do you know why 2 + 2 is 4? I mean, do you understand that? I mean, that sometimes when we're talking, a lot of times we'll talk with our grandkids, and we'll say something like, you know, what's 2 + 2? And they'll say 4. Well, how do you know that? Well, because Johnny had 2 apples, and Susie had 2 apples, but when they came together, they had how many apples? 1, 2, 3, 4. They got 4. Wow. And a picture explanation of those things many times helps many of us to learn. When you see it and it becomes a practical matter, you got it. Amen? 2 little Debbies over here with Swiss rolls. 2 little Debbies oatmeal pie. I got 4 little Debbies. I can figure that out. I'm just telling you, there's a way to do these things instead of it just being a rote memorization thing. You have received that. When you got it, you know, and they said, what's 2 + 2? 4. I mean, you believed them, right? You believed that. You received that as truth. But then I want you to know why you believe that. Why is 2 + 2? Because I can put them together and I can see there's 4, right? And that's exactly what it is about the Word of God. You need to receive this truth. But again, it's being taught to you, and you need to receive it in the fact that it's not just with some kind of as I say, rote learning, that kind of thing. But can you get it from God? You get this thing from God, not just from some man. But when God solidifies some truth in your heart and in your life, if you remember, the Bible tells us that we think about all this. You know, we talk about people being having tribulation. Tribulation works that experience, and experience brings some truth in our life. And man, when you get those things in your life, when you go through some experiences, you understand a whole lot better than you do from somebody just telling you. Well, faith comes by hearing. Amen. You know how I know that? Because I've heard it. I've heard the Word of God, and the Word of God has built up my faith. And thank God, I received that truth, that part of the truth. I received it, and I understood it. And I believe that's the same thing that Paul is emphasizing here. He said, whatsoever things you've learned, and whatsoever things you've received. Now, there's a lot of folks sit in church services. There's a lot of folks sit in Sunday school class or you know, any kind of Bible study, whatever it is. They'll sit there, but then they'll go out and they'll say, I don't believe that. I don't think that's right. Man, I'm telling you, get you a Bible, get it down, look at it, and make sure of what you believe. You can find those truths. You can find those nuggets. You can dig in and you can pray. And buddy, God will give it to you. Amen. So there are some things you need to learn. But there are some things that you need to receive. I mean, you need to really take it down into the depths of your heart. Amen. I mean, it's just like saying, how do you get saved? I can tell you that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. And God calls preachers to preach, and preachers stand and preach, and the Holy Ghost convicts. And when He convicts a person of their sin, and they trust the finished work of Calvary, then you can be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth a confession is made. Amen? So you've got to be taught. You've got to learn some things. But you need to receive them when you're hearing those things that are being taught. Whatsoever things he says here, those things which you've learned, those things which you've received. Then don't you notice the third thing he says? Those things that you have heard. Those things that you have heard. Man, I tell you, I listen on the radio to preachers. I listen at different churches to preachers. We go to our preacher's fellowship that we have here in our area, and there's a bunch of different guys, and sometimes, you know, there's three or four different preachers. Sometimes at these meetings will get up and preach. And I like to hear all kinds, because listen, I don't know it all. You don't know it all. We ain't got it all figured out. And thank God I'm glad that we don't, because there's somebody else out there that can impart some knowledge to me and to you, some teaching, some things you need to learn, some instruction. And if you'll receive it, it's from what you heard. As I said, you and I understand that faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing comes from where? The Word of God. Amen? And Paul says those things that you have heard. And those are things that they'd heard from Paul, and they're also things that they'd even heard about Paul. I mean, that's what Paul is saying. There's some things that are from him, and there's some things that are about him. He said, those things that you've heard, it was just simply, merely a demonstration that he was telling the truth. You mean people start saying, well, you know what? Paul went out there and he preached to that bunch of Gentiles, and those Gentiles began to repent. And somebody say, yeah, that's what he said he was going to do. That's what he told us that the gospel was. That's what he said would happen when you preach the gospel, that people would turn from their idolatrous worship, they'd turn from their wicked life, and they'd turn unto God. That's what he said. I heard him say that. Aren't you glad you heard somebody say something sometimes? Amen. I mean, yeah, for my young life, I heard the preacher say, you're going to hell without Christ. You know what? I believe that I'm going to hell without Christ. I believe that people will die and are eternally separated from God without Jesus Christ. Now, you know what? I've heard other people say, I've heard that all my life. I don't believe it. Well, friend, all I can tell you is one day you're going to find out. One day you're going to stand there before God, and those things that you have heard, those things that you have heard, they're going to come back up in your hearing again, I think. God's going to bring them back. I mean, those things that say serve the Lord, those things that say you ought to be faithful to Him, those things that say many of the scriptural dynamics of service and of loving God and being His child, those things are going to come back to me and you one of these days. Amen? As I think Brother Bagwell was talking about this the other night, that we talk about the judgment seat of Christ. Standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And standing before the judgment seat of Christ, you're not there to see if you're saved or lost. You're already saved. You're already saved. You're there at the judgment seat because you're going to be judged. You're going to stand before Him to see about the works that you did after you got saved. Amen? What does Paul say? Paul says, let every man take heed how he build upon this foundation. He said you can build with gold, silver and precious stone, or with wood, hay, and stubble. He said, and every man's works, he didn't say your salvation, he said your works are going to be tried. The heat's going to be turned up. And if those works withstand that heat, what happens when you put the fire to gold and silver and stones and all that? They just get purer in what they are. It purifies them. But when you turn the heat up on wood, hay, and stubble, you know what you got left? A pile of ashes. So what I'm saying, if your works, what you're doing for God, that don't matter. I don't have to do that. I don't need to listen to what the Holy Ghost is telling me. I don't need to, you know, do all these things. I don't need to study my Bible. I don't need to pray. I don't need to go to church. I don't need, brother, one of those days, you're going to stand there and that stuff's going to be burned up right in your face. And you're going to have, the Bible says, a fearful look from God. I'd pay attention to Him today. I'd get my heart right and ready to meet the Lord. Amen. So he said, those things that you've learned, those things you received. And listen to this last thing he said. And what things you've received and heard and seen in me. Those things that you have seen in me. Those things that you have watched with your own eyes. You've seen it. You've watched. And Paul said, you've watched me. And you've watched to see if what comes out of my mouth matches the deeds that I'm doing. Amen? You know how the world usually is about that? Well, do as I say, not as I do. Right? I mean, you can find any number. You know what we call it? We call that a hypocrite. Amen? A hypocrite will tell you what to do, but then they'll go do the exact opposite. They'll tell you, oh, you ought to be doing, you ought to live like that. And then they're out here living 180 degrees from that. Brother, that's wrong. But Paul said, whatever you've seen in me, That's what you ought to be doing. Those are the things. Those are the real things. I mean, and I believe they watch. I believe everybody watched Paul. Well, he made so many Jewish people mad because of the preaching that he did. He got so many Gentile people saved and started churches. And you know what? They were watching him. And buddy, let me tell you something. They're watching you too. They're watching you. Your neighbors are watching and saying, let's see if they go to church this morning. They had a bad day yesterday. I could tell they wasn't doing too good by watching that. But let's see if they get up and go worship God today. Let's look and see how faithful they are. Oh, well, they're getting in their car. Well, they're leaving. They must really believe. And they see you come back home after a period of time. They say, well, they must have been at church. Brother, let me tell you something. Just let them see. Let them see whenever you're out in public and something happens. Don't let them see you turn into some kind of loudmouth jerk or whatever it is out in public. Hey, let them see the sweetness and let them see the goodness and let them see the kindness of God come out of your mouth rather than some of those things that we do sometimes. Amen? I'm just telling you, we can all be that if we're not careful. We can be a bad testimony. We can be a bad representation of Christ. But they ought to see something different in us. When the pressure comes on, how are you reacting? Or not just how are you reacting, how are you responding? Amen? How are you responding to those things? When they see you, is it a light to them to say they're following Jesus? Amen. You remember what the Bible tells us about Peter and John, and they'd been there to the temple in Acts chapter 3, and then in Acts chapter 4, they're called in before the Sanhedrin, and it said they stood there for them, and it said they looked at them, And they heard what they had to say. And it said, and they knew that they were ignorant and unlearned fishermen, but they knew that they'd been with Jesus. It don't matter what school you did or didn't go to. It don't matter what bank account you do or don't have. It doesn't matter what car you are or are not driving. Brother, they ought to see Jesus no matter what all that other stuff is. Let them see Jesus in you. Paul said those things that you've seen in me. That's he imparts this part about those things. But don't you notice, here's the real importance of those things. He said, those things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. Look at that one little word, D-O, do. The importance of it is that you do those things. That's what you got. You just got to do it. That's the importance of this whole thing. Don't just be a hearer. Don't just be a hearer. Well, look, flip over in your Bibles over to the book of James. If you flip over to the book of James, you'll see that that's the very essence of the first chapter of James. Listen to what he says. James says this, verse number 22 of James chapter 1. He said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." If you ain't going to do it, oh, listen, man, there've been a lot of times I look in the mirror, and I see something. Old mouth off, a hair standing up in the back or something. And then I get to doing something around the house, and I get ready to go out the door. And this lady over here will have the audacity to say, "Wait a minute. You got something that's standing straight up in the back of your head." "Oh, really? Well, I kind of remember that now. I forgot it." And that's the way we are about hearing what God said, and then we don't do it. We don't do it. We just forget it. We are forgetful in those things. Paul said, don't be forgetful. Be a doer. Be a doer. I mean, look, he talks about that we should have be doers, but he's talking to, first of all, we'll say the humble. The humble. Paul says, look, you ought to be doers of the things of Christ. Doing brings some humility into your life. Be a doer. I mean, be a doer. And you say, well, sometimes I don't want to do. I know. Do you think Jesus wanted to do what he did? Do you think he wanted to go all the time he did while he was here on this earth? He felt tired. People came and pressured him. People came and demanded of him. People came into it. And you know what he did? He just turned around and he did for them anyway. Even when he wanted to resort somewhere with his disciples, find a little rest, and they found him out there, then he just began to do. It said he looked on them as sheep without a shepherd. He looked on them and he had compassion on them. He loved them. Brother, I'm telling you, Jesus just did sometimes, and it doesn't depend on how you and I feel many times. You're just supposed to be a doer. Don't just be a hearer, be a doer. Be a humble doer, though. Be a humble doer. Look over here in the book of Philippians, chapter number 3, and you'll see what Paul says in this very same book, Philippians 3. Look down at verse number 17. He says this, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." He says, look, do what you, be a follower. That means to be to do after that model that's been set before you. Do what you've seen done to you and done before you. You ought to do that. You know, many times we talk about people that we'll say, well, they're acting just like their mother or they're acting just like their daddy. You know why they've done that? Because mom and daddy modeled that in front of them. Have mom and daddy done it? You see people that have some bad habits sometimes. Kids can develop those habits. And I've seen mamas and daddies say, now, don't you do that. Don't do that. I mean, they're over smoking 10 packs of cigarettes a day, and that kid picks up one. You don't need to be smoking. Well, how about you? You're puffing right on them pretty good yourself. Amen? I mean, what do you expect them to do? Don't you pick up that liquor. Well, I seen you in there in that cabinet last night guzzling down some of it. Amen? Shake your head. I'm right. I mean, we see some bad habits, and we tend to mimic those bad ones. But thank God for some good ones when somebody comes up. You go to church all the time. You know what? I think I'll just go to church with you too. Thank God for that. I see you praying. I believe I'm going to learn how. Do you know that Jesus' disciples saw him praying in a place, and they said, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John taught his disciples. I mean, brother, you and I need to learn some things from the habits and the responses that we have laid out in front of us. They model some things. Let me and you do them. Let's be humble and do them. Paul says here, brethren, be followers together of me. And mark them. Where do you think Paul got it? Paul said, I got it from Jesus. I'm following him. Y'all follow me. Amen? I mean, it's a humble duty. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, Paul says that same thing. He says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Listen, we're supposed to follow that example that's been left behind for us. I mean, you ought to just make yourself have some habits of holiness in your Christian life. There ought to be some habits of holiness. Amen? There's people, man, anybody can throw out some of them silly four-letter words that people run around with. I'm amazed at that today. I've been out in public, and I've heard some women throw some of them four-letter words around. My eyes get big, and I'm like, my goodness, where did they get that? But you know what? They might have heard it from somewhere. And then, you know what? I've seen these same people that think it's cute when their little kids use some of those four-letter words. You better get that bar of soap out and clean that stuff up in a hurry. Amen? Oh, listen, man, hey, I don't know how y'all grew up, but I grew up in a pretty tight place like that. They'd look at us like, what did you say? I don't think I said the right thing, apparently. Amen? I'm just telling you, hey, you need to learn how to control it. And it ain't cute. I don't care whose kid it is. It ain't cute. Amen? Well, guess you got that. That was free. Amen? I throwed that in. Listen, he says, be a follower of Christ. Make those things I said a habit of the holiness of a Christian life. Do. This word do is an imperative verb in the Greek. It's a present tense imperative verb, and it means do it. Do it now, and do it always, and do it again, and do it on and on and on and on and on. In other words, it is really the same as a command to me and you. It's a command for us. I mean, do it, but you're not supposed to do it, and you and I can't do these things within us. We're to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And be sure that you are realizing that it's an honorable thing for you. And it's a humble thing. It'll humble you. But it's an honorable thing to be able to do that. And I'm not saying so people look at you and say, oh boy, look at them and they're blah, 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 you know, trying to make you some kind of holy person or something. I'm just saying it's honoring to Christ. It's honoring to God the Father. It's honoring to your church. It's honoring to the very core of Christianity. When you do those things that are right, it's the honorable thing to do. Amen? Stephen, while they were getting ready to stone him, you know what he did? The honorable thing. He didn't yell anything back at him. He looked up and he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. You know who did that? Jesus. Jesus said, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When they nailed him to the cross, Stephen's getting ready to die, and he said, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Hey, have mercy on them. Save them. Amen? I'm just telling you, a lot of folks have been concerned about this thing with Charlie Kirk, and rightfully so. I mean, we ought to be concerned about it. But can I tell you, that young man, that if he pulled that trigger and killed that man, you know what? He needs to be saved. Amen? Just like anybody else. I know he deserves some punishment. I understand, man, that he deserves maybe the death penalty and whatever for whatever he did. But I'm telling you, he needs to be saved just like me and you, because we is that rotten. There was sin in our hearts, and that same kind of sin would send us to hell just like it'll send him unless he gets clear with God. Amen? So I'm just telling you, we need to learn these things. Be sure that's an honor to do. I mean, really. It's really a heart thing. Are you going to have a rebellious heart? Or are you going to have a receptive heart and listen to the things that God said? Paul says here, he says, those things that you've learned and received and heard and seen of me, do. Don't you notice one last thing? The impact of those things. There's an impact that comes from those things that if you'll do them. What is the impact of it? Well, he says here the impact of it is this. And the God of peace shall be with you. Isn't that amazing? Earlier he said, verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. But now he says, and now the God of peace. Not only will you have the peace of God, you'll have the God of peace all wrapped up in this whole essential thing. When you think on these things, when you pray about everything, when you are worried about nothing, and when you do those things that Paul has mentioned here that he wants us to do, man, you'll have the peace of God and you'll have the God of peace all wrapped up into those things. When you see that, you'll see that he is your peace. He'll become your peace. When you're doing the right thing, you have the peace of God. You can do the things that you do, and God will give you the peace in those things while you're doing them. But not only that, he becomes your companion. He's there, listen, he says, and the peace of God, the God of peace, shall be with you. I want you to know, he talks about him being your companion. He will be with you. He'll be with you. And listen, man, there's nothing any better than that. To realize you've got the companion. Jesus said, if I go away, I'm going to pray to the Father. He's going to send another comforter, and he'll be with you. He's setting up shop on the inside of you. Hey, Paul said in Romans 8 and 9, he said this, that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You've got the Spirit of God, and Jesus said he will be with you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will teach you. Thank God, aren't you glad you can have all of that on the inside of you, the peace of God and the God of peace. He's going to give you that comfort. I mean, you won't have to have all the cares, the worries, the fears, the doubts, all that stuff. Nothing's going to override that peace that God can give to the inside of us. And then, man, you just realize that it is a constant connection when you've got the peace of God with you. Jesus told his disciples, if you remember, when he rose from the dead, he came back to them, and they were all shocked and didn't know what to make of it. And what's the first thing? He says, peace. Peace be unto you. He said, be of good cheer. He said, it is I. Don't worry about all of these things that tend to bring that. He said, I want you to have, and he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm just telling you, friend, when the peace of God comes in and the God of peace comes in, then you know what you can do? You can get under those marching orders and you can think on these things. You can do those things, and pretty soon you'll be like Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Amen? That's where we all want to head, isn't it? We want to be where we can do what we do because the Lord's with us. Amen? Now, if you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you're not sure, you need to make sure. You need to get some things settled in your heart and your life. And then you and I that are saved, we need to get busy and start doing those things. Those things that Paul mentions here. Just get ready and let's do them. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a verse of a song, if you would. We'll get ready and sing. But if you need to come pray about those things or these things or any other things, you can just bring them to the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's stand, if you would, please, as we get ready to sing this song and we get ready to come to a place of conclusion. But I'm glad the Lord's got those things for me and for you. Amen. Those things. Amen. What are we going to sing, Brother Ronnie?
Page 362.
Page 362. Why are we